see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have in studio with us today historian and author Shirley Delaska. She is here. She's a very, very faithful volunteer at the Pioneer Room at Hastings City Hall, and she is going to talk about her new book, Hastings Women Who Served Civil War Through Korea. Incredible title. I'm anxious to dig into this. Shirley, it's great to see you. How have you been?
I have been very good. Thank you.
Shirley, tell me a little bit about your background and how you got interested in history.
I always liked history all the way through school. I kind of got into the family history and started that way.
Oh, you did? You did genealogy?
I did. I did our families. And then I was working for the state and got laid off. My husband suggested, rather than sit around and try and find something, why don't you go down to the Pioneer Room and see if you can help them until you find a job.
Did you know about the Pioneer Room?
No. I was in Cottage Grove. I didn't know too much about Hastings.
How did he know about it?
He grew up here.
Oh, okay.
Born and grew up in Hastings.
So you went to the Pioneer Room, and what did you find? What year would this have been?
25, 30 years ago, probably. And Cindy was very nice.
Cindy Thury Smith.
Cindy Thury Smith. I don't even remember what she had me doing. But then I got a job with the state again. It was seasonal, so I would come in maybe an hour in the afternoon once in a while when she was open. And then when it was seasonal and I was laid off, then I'd come in a little bit more often.
So your interest in history, was it broad, like national history, international history, family history, or what?
I think I kind of started out, I liked ancient history in the beginning.
Oh.
Not so much anymore, but I started out kind of with ancient, old Greece and that kind of stuff, and then more into Hastings area.
Do you find that people are more interested in family history because of things like Ancestry.com and 23andMe? Has that had a resurgence, do you think, in people trying to trace their own family roots?
I would think so. I use Ancestry a lot for a lot of the research. A lot of it stuff at the Pioneer Room, obituaries and that kind of stuff. So between the two, I usually get quite a bit.
So when you say you are doing research, when people visit the Pioneer Room, what are some of the things that they could see or access?
Well, we have maybe 10 files, 5-drawer files with bio information on them, stuff that's been taken out of the old newspapers. We have all of the yearbooks.
You do?
We do.
That's so fun.
That is. That's been a lot of fun. And upstairs, kind of tucked away out of the way, are the large class photos. They used to do...
That's right.
4 foot by 5 foot or something.
When the classes were what, maybe 50 people or...
Yeah, maybe a little bit bigger, but then it just got too big and they would just do the individual then.
That's fascinating that you have the Hastings High School or Hastings Public School system information. So if there's somebody, let's say, that's listening, that's getting ready for a class reunion, or do you have people that come in and ask your help for things like that?
Oh, certainly. They come in every so often. I was going through the files one year, kind of cleaning out. We have duplicates in there, a lot of them. And I kept finding people that had applied for patents,
oh.
Inventors.
Tell me more.
Well, I started collecting them and researching them. I have a big notebook full of people from Hastings that invented things.
Well, isn't that fascinating? That could be a whole other show than people from Hastings that have invented things.
That's true.
So you're saying that you actually have files on different families, or do you break it down by person? Or
it depends. Like the McNamaras are a separate file.
Just no kidding.
They're so big. General LeDuc is 4, 5, maybe 6 files because he was into so many different things. And we also have some of the businesses, most of the businesses. They're broken down by maybe saloons, harness makers, blacksmiths, all kinds of different categories.
Well, I've always said that the Pioneer Room is just a treasure trove of information, historical things about this wonderful area we live in. And people don't really know about it, do they?
No, they don't. It's amazing. You start talking about it and people go, what? I've never heard of it. But we're open now Mondays and Wednesdays from 9:30 to 4. We've kind of expanded our hours a little bit because Mayor Mary has asked us to be open a little bit more. So we stay open through the lunch hour now too, which might help a few people a little bit.
If they want to pop in and do some research.
Right.
So what are the types of things that you could help people with?
Family history, some of the business history, some of the houses. We have some information on some of the older houses. I'm looking for some right now that were built in 1875 down by the mill. They're still standing.
So you're gathering information on the houses?
Yes.
What would that be? Like who lived in them or...
If we can, yes.
Okay.
Maybe some pictures. I was surprised. There's an old picture of General LeDuc's house when he lived down by the mill. And that was in the 1860s.
Wow.
And it was a big one. Humongous house. Very big, yes.
And what happened to that? Taken down?
Taken down or burned. I'm not sure which.
So let's talk about this book you wrote. This is fascinating. It's called Hastings Women Who Served Civil War Through Korea. First of all, it's incredible that you have all of this information in one place, but it's incredible that women were serving in the military out of Hastings during the Civil War even.
I only found one, and she went with her husband. I'm not sure what she did with her younger children, but she decided to go with her husband. His unit was turned around and came back to help with the Indian problems at that time, and then he went south later, about 1864, I think it was. He was thrown from his horse, broke a couple of bones, ended up in the hospital, got typhoid fever, and came home and died within 2 weeks. So I don't know what she did, but her obituary said that she served with her husband. So that's all I know about her.
So you actually found how many total women?
I think there are 86 military women, and then I found another 19 that served in other ways. My mother-in-law went out to Oregon and helped build ships.
Like a Rosie the Riveter kind of thing?
Right. Mrs. Schar had German POWs. There was a POW camp down towards Mankato, and they would bus them up every day to work at the farm. So I had a few of those too.
This book came out of what? How did you decide to write a book, or how did you first even decide to research women in the military?
Several years ago, I had done the book on the Civil War veterans from Hastings. And then we were sitting around talking, thinking, nobody ever talks about the women that served. So I said, I've got some free time.
I guess I didn't even think about women serving during, like, the Civil War or leading up to World War I. And
yeah.
How did you go about researching that?
Well, one of the big things was Dick Carpin's monument. There's 30-some women that are listed on there from World War II. The rest you just kind of dig around and maybe go through the old newspapers, find a name and see if they served. So you just keep digging.
So a lot of these, I know, served in the medical field, as you said.
Right.
And what are some that you wanted to highlight, please?
Well, we had one. Her name was Pat Jagot. She was with the British military. She was a Jeep driver. And she met and married an American, had 2 daughters in Ireland, 1 in England. And then they came back to the States, settled in the area. She was out at the Hastings Veterans Home for a while. And she was also at the Mississippi Belle. She worked as one of the waitresses. So,
did you ever meet her in person?
No, I did not.
Isn't that a fascinating story?
Yes.
What are some of the others?
Mary, her nickname was Midge Huberty, is a grandmother of my son-in-law. She was the oldest in her family. And when it came time to go to high school, evidently you had to pay to go to high school. And her dad said, if you want to go get a job and pay for it yourself. She decided she was the oldest in the family, so she would enlist. So she enlisted, and then when she came home, she married Raymond Canole and worked in the post office for many years. 1987, she finally got her GED, so she graduated. We've got Eleonora Lehman. She enlisted in the Navy in March of 1944, and her son also served in the Navy. So that was two generations in the same war.
Really?
Yep. When she came home, she also worked in the post office. She would marry two times, moved to California, and worked in the post office there. Lorraine McNaughton was a nurse. She ended up at the St. Cloud Veterans Hospital. She enlisted in 1942. In June of 1945, she graduated from the School for Air Evacuation of Casualties. They had to train. They had to swim 1 mile, tow a person 220 yards, and swim 440 yards in 10 minutes. That's a lot of work.
No kidding.
And then in September of 46, she was on Guam when the typhoon hit, so she helped there. In 1947, she was on her way home, and the plane crashed. She helped rescue and aid some of the passengers before she was admitted to the hospital with broken ribs. There's just all these stories you never hear about.
I see somebody in the book is called Dorothy Hyde Delaska.
Right.
And how is that a relative of yours, please?
She was my mother-in-law. They went out to Oregon and were building ships, helping to build ships. When she got pregnant with my husband, she said, I want to go home. They didn't remember that he had a deferment because he was building ships. So he had his enlistment papers before he even got home. So he ended up going overseas just before his son was born.
Some of these photos are just incredible that you have found. Again, did you find them from family members or did you find them in old newspaper clippings?
A few of them are family. There are several there from yearbooks. I was able to get people that had graduated, so they're in the yearbook. I went through the newspaper for the war years and got a few pictures that way.
This is certainly a labor of love. How many years did it take you to research this?
I was kind of putzing around with different things at the time, so it took quite a few years, and then several more before I decided to get it published.
Well, this is really just such a fabulous, comprehensive book of all these wonderful women that served. Do you want to take some time to read some of the last names in case people that are listening might want to get a hold of your book? Because these are for sale, aren't they, at the Pioneer Room?
Yes.
And the Leduc for $15.
$15, that's correct. When I did this, I listed their maiden name and all of their married names, so it gets a little bit long. Rosemary Ahern, Bernita Anderson, Anna Arlen, Marguerite Ashton, Bernita Babcock, Jenny Bachman, Helen Bauer, Edith Balls, Anita Baker, Betty Ballett, Ruth Behrens, Patricia Bell, Virginia Bell, Lucille Burchin, Dolores Blair, Dolores Blumstrand, Jane Bonney, Bernice Brunswold, Jane, I'm blowing these names, I'm sorry, B-Y-R-N-E, Gladys Kavanaugh, Ann Chankas, Edith Christensen, Ann Clancy, Bernice Compston, just on and on.
So this is a wonderful book, and if people are interested, it's called Hastings Women Who Served Civil War Through Korea. Shirley Delaska is the author of this book, and it can be purchased for $15 at the Pioneer Room, and it's also at the Leduc Historic Estate. I know that a lot of these women have passed away, but are some still alive that you've researched?
I'm not sure. I think almost all of them have died. I know the one was 100 when she died. I would think they're mostly gone.
Can you tell us some more about the book that you want our listeners to know about?
Well, I've got 6 women that served in World War I, 73 in World War II, and 7 in Korea, plus the one in the Civil War. It's hard to believe that many women were allowed to be in the military and serve.
Well, it is. And do any of your historical references talk about that?
Not in the book. I just didn't find an awful lot. When it started out, the book was about 330 pages.
What?
And it was just too big, so I had to condense it down. So I don't mention parents, siblings. It's just condensed just to the women themselves and who they married. And after they died, if they had kids, I just said how many there were.
But you sure did a lot of research, didn't you?
I guess I did. Thank you.
What are some other things you want to highlight?
Well, we had four sets of sisters.
Four sets of sisters.
Agatha and Frances Halfen, Lola and Rita Coomer, Lorraine, Patricia and Virginia McNaughton, Barbara and Patricia Stevens. Anne Steffen and Jane Steffen were cousins. Their fathers were identical twins. Mavis Myers was born in Canada but returned to the U.S. and became a citizen and enlisted from Hastings. Her cousin Jean McConnell enlisted with the Royal Canadian Air Force and would come several times during the year to visit family in Hastings. We had a lot of firsts. Isabel Fox was the first Women's Army Auxiliary Corps member to enlist from Hastings after we got a recruiter. She was on the ground force for filming Japanese cities. Virginia McNaughton was the first Hastings woman to join Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Services, the WAVES. Beth Melby was the first graduating class of the new Women's Army Corps, the WACS. She was a medical technician school at the Army and Navy General Hospital in Hot Springs National Park. Delia Murphy, Novak, ran the Lato Hospital later, and it was the first nursing home in Hastings. We had a couple of them that were teachers for several years, taught at Hastings High School. Mavis Myers was at Lockheed Aircraft in Burbank, California. She became the first woman to serve as the commander of the American Legion. So we did quite a bit.
Absolutely. Well, you did quite a bit in researching this, Shirley. It's just fascinating, and we congratulate you on your book, and we thank you for all the hard work you put in. The book is called Hastings Women Who Served Civil War Through Korea, and author Shirley DeLaska has visited with us today. The book is available at the Pioneer Room in Hastings. Do you want to give the details of your hours and how people can buy this book?
We are open Monday and Wednesday from 9:30 to 4, and we've opened through the lunch hour now, too, if anybody's interested. Come into the City Hall and take a right. We're the first office on the left. It's a small room, but we have a lot of information in there.
And the book is there, and how much is it, please?
The book will be $15.
Wonderful to see you, Shirley. Thank you for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you.
Very fascinating. Shirley DeLaska, we're so grateful she stopped in, and you are listening to another edition of Community In Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands,